God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. The classic Greek myth of Icarus has become synonymous today with the concept of arrogance, human arrogance, a defiance of natural limitations and the consequences that come with it. If you're unfamiliar, the story of Icarus is about a young man who him and his father are trapped on an island, and then to escape the island, they create these wings out of wax and feathers. But the father warns Icarus not to fly too high, lest he gets too close to the sun and melt the wax and fall to his death. And what does Icarus do? He flies too high to the sun, the wax melts, and he perishes. It's a cautionary tale. We may soar in our pride and vanity for a moment. We may look like we can do what we're told cannot be done, but when we lift ourselves higher than we ought to, we tumble. If classical Greek isn't your thing, here's maybe a little more down-to-earth illustration from the great classic, Yertle the Turtle, by the incomparable Dr. Seuss. Faraway island of Salamisand, Yertle the Turtle was king of the pond. If you haven't read Yertle the Turtle, you need to go home and read it, because it's excellent. Yertle, the Turtle King, is hungry for power, and he decides that the small stone he sits upon for his throne is far too small. He wants a higher throne so that his kingdom can expand. So he commands turtles to come to him and to stack themselves on top of his stone so that he can stand upon them, because the more he sees, the more he rules. The turtles dutifully obey, and they create a turtle throne for the Turtle King. Despite the pleas from the other turtles to let them go free, he continues to demand more and more turtles to continue to stack his throne higher and higher, more and more gleeful each time that his kingdom is expanding, until he sees, does anyone know the story? What does he see? The moon. Very good. He sees the moon. "What's that?" snorted Yertle. "Say, what is that thing that dares to be higher than Yertle the king? I shall not allow it. I'll go higher still. I'll build my throne higher. I can and I will. I'll call some more turtles. I'll stack them to heaven. I need about 5,607. However, as soon as Yertle issues the command, a small turtle at the bottom burps, and that shakes the entire throne of turtles, causing them to tumble downwards and leaving Yertle, the great marvelous Turtle King, fall into the pond of mud. And so ends the reign of Yertle the Turtle. It's a cute story because it's written by Dr. Seuss, who can't be beaten when it comes to fanciful, whimsical rhymes. But Dr. Seuss later on actually explained that he wrote Yertle the Turtle to be an illustration of what happened in the Third Reich. And Yertle was based off of Hitler and his lust for power and his shameful demise. This is a story that we find repeatedly throughout history. Try to raise yourself up to heaven, and you will find yourself humiliated, cast down. God opposes the proud. I want to examine today the deadly danger of power, of fame, and of self-importance. We spent the last 2 weeks looking at Micah 6:8. Micah 6:8 represents one of the most important passages in the whole Old Testament. It provides this clarion call of what God expects of us, and this is what we have been considering. So let's look at Micah 6:8. There we see, "He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. And it's that final phrase, walk humbly with your God, that we want to consider today. The word used for humbly there is not the normal word used in the Bible. In fact, it's used only one other place in the whole Bible. And it's a word that specifically means to acknowledge your limitations and to avoid presumption towards God. You acknowledge your human limitations, which then makes you live modestly. You don't approach God arrogantly. To think about this, what I'm going to argue at the end of the sermon today is that this characteristic of walking humbly with your God entails the other two characteristics that Micah 6:8 calls us to do justice and to love kindness. If you walk humbly with your God, it will include those. It is holistic. But look at this specifically, though. What I want to do is I want to examine a story from earlier in the Bible. I want to look at a story from 2 Chronicles that gives us a vivid depiction of what it means to walk humbly with God and the danger of what happens when we don't. So turn with me to 2 Chronicles 26. You'll want to have your Bible open in front of you the entire time I'm talking. If you don't have a Bible with you, there should be a Bible under your chair. And you can open up to 2 Chronicles 26. I'd encourage you to have a Bible. It will be more enjoyable and easier to follow what I'm saying. 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles is after 1 Chronicles, after 1 and 2 Kings, after 1 and 2 Samuel, before Psalms and Proverbs and Isaiah and all that good stuff. We're going to read the whole chapter. This is why it's going to be helpful to have it in front of you. The whole chapter of 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26. Let's start in verse 1. And all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king instead of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah, after the king slept with his fathers. Uzziah was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jechaliah of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had done. He set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. He went out and made war against the Philistines and broke through the wall of Gath and the wall of Jabneh and the wall of Ashdod. And he built cities in the territory of Ashdod and elsewhere among the Philistines. God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabians who lived in Gerbel and against the Munites. The Ammonites paid tribute to Uzziah, and his fame spread even to the border of Egypt, for he became very strong. Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the angle and fortified them. And he built towers in the wilderness and cut out many cisterns, for he had large herds, both in Shephelah and in the plain. And he had farmers and vine dressers in the hills and in the fertile lands, for he loved the soil. Moreover, Uzziah had an army of soldiers fit for war and divisions according to the numbers and the muster made by Jael, the secretary, and Massa, the officer, under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's commanders. The whole number of the heads of fathers, houses of mighty men of valor, was 2,600. Under their command was an army of 307,500 who could make war with mighty power to help the king against the enemy. And Uzziah prepared for all the army shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, and stones for slinging. In Jerusalem, he made machines invented by skillful men to be on the towers and on the corners to shoot arrows and great stones. And his fame spread far, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. But when he was strong, he grew proud to his destruction. He was unfaithful to the Lord, his God, and entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. But Azariah the priest went in after him with 80 priests of the Lord who were men of valor. And they withstood King Uzziah and said to him, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for you have done wrong, and it will bring you no honor from the Lord God." And Uzziah was angry. Now he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And when he became angry with the priests, leprosy broke out on his forehead in the presence of the priests in the house of the Lord by the altar of incense. And Azariah, the chief priest, and the priest looked at him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they rushed him out quickly, and he himself hurried to go out, because the Lord had struck him. And King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death. Being a leper, lived in a separate house, for he was excluded from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's household, governing the people of the land. Now the rest of the acts of Uzziah, from the first to last, Isaiah, the son, the prophet, the son of Amos, wrote. And Uzziah slept with his fathers. They buried him with his fathers in the burial field that belonged to the kings, for they said, "He is a leper." And Jotham, his son, reigned in his place. This is God's word for our church. Let's pray once more. Father, would you give us humility? Would you make us aware of our weakness? And would you make us strong in you? In Jesus' name. We're going to look at three movements in this story. We're going to look at weakness from verses 1 through 5. Then we'll look at strength in verses 6 through 15. And then we'll look at destruction in verses 16 through 23. Weakness, strength, destruction. Let's begin with weakness in verses 1 through 5. Uzziah begins to reign at the tender age of 16. His father, Amaziah, had recently been deposed as king. If you're interested in this, you can, maybe today after lunch, you can read 2 Chronicles 25, the chapter before this, to read about the story of his dad, Amaziah. Amaziah had begun his reign mostly well. This is Uzziah's dad, Amaziah. He establishes the kingdom, he leads Israel to victory, but eventually Amaziah succumbs to idolatry. And then he arrogantly challenges the northern half of Israel to battle for no reason. And this leads him to have a humiliating defeat. And then Jerusalem, the capital of Judah, is ransacked, and 600 feet of its wall is torn down, the temple is plundered, the king's treasury is emptied, and the northern kingdom takes away hundreds of hostages off to Samaria. Everyone who's left in Jerusalem is furious with Amaziah. So they chase him out of town and eventually assassinate him. And then they grab his son, Uzziah, and make him king. So, around the time you got your driver's license, Uzziah is now responsible for leading a nation. Not only that, but leading a nation that has just been gutted by a humiliating and entirely avoidable military blunder. They now have no defenses, they have no resources, and their temple has been defiled. And, not to forget, the people who have just put Uzziah into power just finished executing his father for his failure and his foolishness. If you were in Uzziah's shoes, how would you feel? Suddenly, you're on a throne, of a crumbling kingdom put into place by the people who are still wiping the blood of your dad off of their knives. How would you feel? Well, I know that I would feel very, very desperate. I would feel weak. Fortunately, Uzziah isn't alone, but there's a priest named Zechariah there to help him. Look at 2 Chronicles 26, verse 5. We're told that Uzziah set himself to seek God in the days of Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God. And being instructed in the fear of God is just a holistic way to describe a posture of your heart towards God. You relate to God rightly. He is